repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now, and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel, and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church. Mm-hmm. Second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I mean, I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment will be John Ramos. Can you believe we're going to be talking about Waco, Texas today, but also we're going to be talking about the major with the Air Force. His name is Air Force Major General Craig Olson, who prayed an awesome prayer and talked about his prayer life and gave all the glory to God, and how, believe it or not, he is being under attack right now just for praying on the National Day of Prayer. But first, we want to go to Waco, Texas. You know, we talked about the five gangs that came together, over 150 people wounded, over 9 people killed, a shootout with each of the gang members, but also with the police, and how that fit in the context of the prophetic warnings that was been given by several people. One is Rick Joyner, how God has exposed this reality that would be coming in Texas. But they found over 1,000 weapons in that restaurant where those gangs were. As a matter of fact, take a look.
We found up to 1,000 weapons inside the establishment. We believe that those weapons were discarded either during or after the melee. We found weapons hidden under bags of flour, in bags of chips. We found a handgun stuffed inside a toilet. We found an AK-47 in a vehicle in the parking lot, and even so far as much as found body armor. This isn't your church-going crowd that came out to have a dinner with the family. This is a gang-oriented criminal element that was in our city to conduct criminal activity. The majority of those individuals arrested, shot, stabbed, killed, or not even from our community. I think this shows the level of violence that they thought was going to go on here and knew most likely would occur. And it just shows the potential for violence when you have criminal gangs involved.
You said there are knives, guns, what else was it?
Knives, guns, clubs, chains with locks attached to the bottom of them that were used to beat individuals, a rifle in the parking lot, and body armor.
1,000.
Yeah, we're approaching the number of 1,000 weapons.
That's not like
inside.
900 bullets.
No, we're talking individual weapons inside and outside of the parking lot.
What we're hearing is that, you know, this whole propaganda that's been pushed out over America and the distrust of law enforcement that has been promoted throughout our country, even from the highest offices, and people, law enforcement, are beginning to feel, you know, checked in regards to, I need to really risk, you know, stepping out, which is causing the criminal element now to rise up and say, you know, this is time for us to take a vacation. We can do all kinds of things. Now we're starting to see that take place in America, over 1,000+ weapons. What does that mean? Prior to this shootout, all those weapons were on all these people. But when the police showed up in the shootout, they started shoving those weapons under flour bags and potato chip bags. All over the place they found all these weapons. There were weapons for serious destruction and harm. And if you think about Waco, Texas, what is that, 3 hours from your house? Is that 10 hours from your house? Is that, what, 12 hours from your house? And they weren't from that area? Understand that if we don't turn back to the Lord, this violence will be loosed over our nation. You know, it's like a storm is being fashioned, and we have to wake up. We'll be talking in a future program about how there's this concept of a national police force. The reports are that they are beginning to train our own military inside of American territory, and they're putting a badge on their shoulder to separate them so people know this is actually military soldiers training, I believe, in the Southwest from Texas to California, going through the neighborhoods, going through stores and all. It's like, man, this so fits into the criteria of potentially Germany. We need to really wake up and think about, is this a Dietrich Bonhoeffer moment? Do we as the church need to respond to what's going on? And it takes me right to, you know, Air Force Major General Craig Olson at the National Day of Prayer. We couldn't say it any better. He's over a $10 billion budget, something of that nature. You'll hear him talk about it, how he dedicates and credits God for everything. And he's under attack by certain groups who are saying that this general shouldn't have been able to pray and talk like that. Well, today we're going to dedicate most of our program so you can hear Air Force Major General Craig Olson on the National Day of Prayer. As a matter of fact, take a look. Let's join him here. The video is not that high quality, but you're going to be able to see him.
Well, we're on the final stretch. I want to thank you for persevering. Thank you for taking the time to make this a priority today. We just have a few more speakers in prayer. This is the portion where we pray for our military. And we have two distinguished men whom I have a great deal of respect for, not only because of the uniform that they wear, but because of the character of their hearts. They love this nation, and they are honored to be here amongst you. So let me introduce both of them. They will come up separately. And so let me begin with Major General Craig Olson. He is a program executive officer for C3I and networks at Hanscom Air Force Base in Massachusetts. He's responsible for 2,200 personnel and an acquisition budget of $10.9 billion. General Olson was commissioned in 1982 following his graduation from the U.S. Air Force Academy right in our backyard. The general has flown operational aircraft from the F-15 to the F-4. He has tracked some 1,900 flying hours in 20 different aircraft. He will be speaking for the military. And then also we have Chaplain Colonel Kenneth Williams from the Pentagon, who will also pray for the military. Chaplain Kenneth Williams was awarded his PhD in leadership. He's a graduate of the United States Airborne School. In 1989, Chaplain Williams entered the Arkansas Army National Guard as a first lieutenant in the Chaplain Corps. In November of 2014, he began serving as a Pentagon chaplain, overseeing the religious support for over 25,000 personnel. And he recently received a Global War on Terrorism Service Medal. Let's begin with Major General Craig Olson. Please welcome him now.
Wow. I like to start every time I get to speak with something I'm thankful for. And who's warm in here right now? Like warm. I'm really happy about that because we spent the winter in Boston. Did anybody hear about that this year? An epic winter. And we saw all 110 inches of snow. I'm really happy it's over. So I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for Dr. Jim and Shirley Dobson, for the heart they have for the nation and for prayer. I'm sure I'm not the only one in here who had God use them to help raise their sons. Raise your hand if you're in that category. So my wife and I are in that category. Thank you for your hearts for the family. John Bornstein, got to know him through the next person I'm going to say thankful for, but I thank you, John, for your heart for ministry, a pastor of a church, a chairman of a task force, a family with many kids, many candles burning on many ends, but God in the middle of it all. It's been a joy to come to know you this year. And Major General Joe Ward, I'm very thankful for. He was speaking here last year. A former neighbor of my wife and I, someone I met with in an accountability group years ago, just to keep each other accountable and to pray together. He told me that he did this last year, and he said, it was awesome. You just got to hear about this. And that led to me being here today. So I'm thankful for that. Finally, though, and mostly, I'm thankful that I'm a redeemed believer in Christ standing here right now. Who else feels like they've been in church all day? You know, this has been one of the most powerful, meaningful church services I've been in my entire life. It's the longest one for sure. But that's what's cool about it. I don't get to go to church this long on Sunday. And I don't get to hear this kind of talent every Sunday sing. The Legacy Brothers, who with their wonderful ties, look at their ties. It's America on a tie. Their talent, their gifts are phenomenal. You don't hear that every day. I've heard it last night and today. Speakers. I've been with fellow redeemed Christians who happen to be educators, who happen to be businessmen, who happen to be medical professionals, who happen to be public officers. I'm just a Christian who happens to be in the Air Force. So we all have things we do, but we're believers, and we love Christ, and we love this nation. And that's the point of America. We get to be out and about in America as believers in the various places God appoints us. And I'm just gathered with a bunch of those today. So I'm thankful for that. So I'm going to tell you just for a couple minutes of why prayer is so very personally meaningful to me today, and why this nation and its freedom and the military's role in protecting that freedom have come to mean so much to me. First, prayer. I did not go to college. I did not join the military as a Christian. I actually went in to the military because I thought flying would be great, and it sounded like fun. I also went in as a very self-sufficient person. I thought if you work hard, study hard, you'll do fine, and that was working great in high school. Did not.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What religious rights are allowed in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a physician in an OBGYN's office in Missouri, and we have various fertility options that are available to patients. And my question is, do we have the right to set up guidelines in order to treat patients who are married and exclude those who may not be in married relationships or who may be lesbian or whatnot?
Well, you got to be really, really careful, because you've got a situation in that where you're denying services based on someone's sexual orientation. The law does not really allow for that. It depends. Private medical clinic, of course, can decide what the facilities and what it wants to offer to various people and what it doesn't. But you've got to be very careful, because there's state laws that deal with those kind of issues of state law discrimination.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Study hard, you'll do fine, and that was working great in high school. Did not work very well at the Air Force Academy. That's where I realized I had a very limited intellectual ability. I still carry in this pocket my transcript from the Air Force Academy as Exhibit A in the court of law that you're not a gifted intellect. You have no real academic skills. It's proof right here. But something happened there at the Academy. I went to Bible studies because I was free to do that. I was free to go to Bible study. If someone invited me there, I learned about Christ. I was convicted. I was drawn to commit my life to Christ in April of 1979. And I realized that shortly that would begin the journey of learning to depend on someone besides myself. Let's stop depending on Craig and learn to depend on God. That just started at that point. God has been gracious enough and patient enough to give me countless other opportunities to learn greater dependence on him. You mentioned a couple of them as you're reading experiences, flying complex aircraft, doing complex nuclear missions. I had no ability to do that. God enabled me to do that. He put me in charge of failing programs worth billions of dollars. I have no ability to do that, no training to do that. God did that. He sent me to Iraq to negotiate foreign military sales deals through an Arabic interpreter. I have no ability to do that. I was not trained to do that. God did all of that. In all those experiences and many more like them, I found myself admitting I couldn't do that and handing it over to God in prayer. But those are the small things. The bigger things is my lovely bride, Dana. Please raise your hand one more time. You know, he gave me an awesome, beautiful wife of now 32 years to teach me that I needed her desperately to complete myself. I needed her to support me in all those things that God was appointing me to in the military. And she has stood by me in every one of those. And in many cases, she's been ignored in those things, but she stood by me. It wasn't enough for her, though. God gave us four young men to raise, because that's even more complex than trying to love your wife. And that's why you turn to people like the Dobsons and others for help to do that. But you get on your knees to do that, to raise four young men. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them in particular in a couple minutes. God put me in positions in the church, in the Boy Scouts, in sporting activities, all positions to do because he called me to, but I wasn't gifted or able to do. And each of them was more of a chance to depend on Christ. So that's why this picture here, I've been staring at it last night and staring at it in the morning, because what's that man doing? He's on his knees, bowed before God. Has anybody seen, we've talked about George Washington today, a painting of him with his horse on his knees, bowed before God. Who has seen that? That is just emblazoned here, a military general on his knees before God, dependent on God. And so God has given me these experiences to drive me further and further before God in position. I mean, early in my walk with God, pray as you're walking around, you know, pray at the dinner table, bow your head, sure. But God put certain messages in my life and speakers in my life that taught me more specific things about prayer. One was at a Promise Keepers convention. A speaker, I think his name was Jack Hayford, he said he had trouble getting up in the morning with a good attitude. You know, alarm would go off and he'd be mad. I don't want to get up. You know, and he said, well, that's not the right way to approach my day for God. So what am I going to do? I'll tell you what, God's going to, when the alarm goes off, I'm going to roll out of bed and fall on my knees. So the first position of the day is on my knees before God. And he said, as soon as he started doing that, his attitude tended to change. I'm before God. He's given me another day to live. I need to live it for him. I'm pretty excited about that. The day I heard that, I started the very next day. Every time the alarm goes off, I'm going to fall on my knees. And I think it's been 20 years I've been doing the same thing. So God gave me that picture. God gave me another now retired major general. When I was struggling with very difficult jobs that I knew I couldn't do on my own, he went through a time of testing in his life when he lived in Colorado. And God put him prostrate before the Rocky Mountains. And you gentlemen know what they look like. Many of you know what they look like. They humble you because of the Creator, the power of the Creator. So he would get flat on his belly, prostrate before God every day, facing the Rocky Mountains. That was a very powerful picture in my head, in my heart. So I found myself doing that many times a day and during a week, closing the door of the office or finding some closet somewhere where I can get that way because I just need to. And I'll stop many times a day to pause in prayer for that next meeting, that next phone call, that next decision. So yes, you can pray like it's breathing, has been said today. But the position of that prayer really matters a lot to me. The pastor who married Dana and I, he gave us a little counseling. And we learned there that you need to finish every day as a husband and wife in prayer. So that started the day we got married. We finished the day and we prayed together. So 32 years of times 365, we finished the days in prayer. Do you have to be together? No, you have phones. You can pray together on the phone. We've done that with 8,000 miles between us from Iraq to Ohio. And it's very hard to go to bed mad at your wife when you're praying. You know what you typically realize? There's something wrong with me that God is fixing in this prayer. There's nothing wrong with her. There's something wrong with me, and God reveals that in prayer. So what a great way to work a relationship. Finish the day in prayer. And then there's four young men. Long stories, but there's been years where I felt very distant from them because I was physically and emotionally distant that the calling of the military just has led to, and some of my own decisions of how to use my time. So there are four adults right now, age 23 to almost 29, and I'm trying and praying very hard to build what I call an accountable Christian adult relationship with our sons, and praying with them and working issues together like fellow Christian adults. So what do we find ourselves doing once or twice a week? iPhones merged across four or five different states, talking, sharing, laughing, listening, and finishing with what? Prayer. So from morning till night, in positions like this, that's what prayer means to me. It's continuous and everything has to revolve around it. That's what today has reinforced in an exponential fashion to me. That's why I've enjoyed being in church for 6 hours or whatever it's been right now. I'm just extending it because I love this. All right, so America, why does this country and its freedoms and the role of the military mean so much to me? Like I said, I didn't go to the Air Force Academy. I didn't join the Air Force because I was a patriot. I wanted to fly. It didn't take long to become a patriot, though, because you're surrounded by people. You're taking an oath of office. You're with military bands. You're studying America. You're experiencing America as you go around the world and why it works. You know, it's been said today, but it's been reinforced to me today. You know, how should flawed sinners govern themselves? What's the way to do that? Let's try this experiment called democracy, and let's write a constitution founded on prayer, founded on the Bible. And it's full of things that help Christians succeed in life. Checks and balances, you know, authorities that are spread around, choice, chances to many opportunities to prevent a nation from departing. It is prevented by the Constitution if it's properly exercised and founded on a moral compass. That was our nation, a Constitution written for flawed sinners with a moral compass of the Bible. So does it work? Has it worked? Yes. How do we keep it working? We get back to that moral compass, and we pray. So I've been in many nations, visited many parts of the world, and it's just reinforced to me everywhere I've went how awesome it is to be an American, to be able to pursue your dreams. I've done that. I've done more things than I ever thought I could do or get to do. Our family's been able to do that. 4 young men are now pursuing their dreams as American citizens. They didn't earn any of that. It was a gift by being born in America.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world. Not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can, mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also our VFN Radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program or you
you know, man, you're saying, I wish I would have got that or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. And I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Young men are now pursuing their dreams as American citizens. They didn't earn any of that. It was a gift by being born in America. Our privilege is to pay that gift forward to the next generation. So I want to tell you two quick experiences that really highlighted that and personalized that for me. One was about 10 years ago as a Boy Scout troop, as a Boy Scout leader, going to a VFW post and having a Veterans Day observance, just honoring veterans. And so I'd been to things like that before, but this particular day, God just had a message. So I found myself sitting in the audience looking at veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the war on terror. Just standing there holding flags in uniform, just being recognized. The message that hit me was they each represent a generation and a conflict where our nation got engaged. And I thought, well, let's do the Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life thing. Who else has that as a favorite movie? George Bailey, Bedford Falls. What happens to Bedford Falls when you remove George Bailey? It falls apart. So I was having It's a Wonderful Life moment at this Veterans Day ceremony. So bear with me for a second. I was trying to imagine what the world would look like if we did not engage in World War II, if we did not engage in Korea, if we did not engage in Vietnam. What would the geopolitical lines of the world look like? And my heart told me they would look way different than they are right now, and they would be less free. So I said, I will never look at a veteran the same way again. I mean, I appreciated them, I suppose, but now I appreciated them, a veteran. So I don't think it's a trouble here, but if you ever see someone who doesn't appreciate a veteran, let me give you another perspective there. When I was getting ready to deploy to Iraq, March of 2009, BWI Airport, someone stopped me and said, thank you for serving. I said, oh, okay, you're welcome. Who are you? And where are you from? And he told me, I'm a Vietnam vet. And you know what I did? I knew enough about that generation. I had friends from that generation. I said, I bet nobody ever thanked that man when he deployed to Vietnam. They did worse. They despised him. And that, too, reinforced me. May we never be a nation that ever does that again. We're not right now. We appreciate the military. We love it. Let's stay that way. Now, the other experience was even more telling, but in a different way. 9-1-1, 2009, a memorial remembrance ceremony of the 9-1-1 event. Where do you think I spent that? It was in Baghdad, Iraq. So that might not seem unusual initially, because you'll do that wherever you are. I just happened to be in Baghdad. But it struck me because of what I was sent there to do, for military sales, to help Iraqis procure military equipment for their nation's defense. Here I was in a country that was still riddled with holes in its buildings and palaces destroyed by the very same weapons that we're now trying to sell them. And I'm standing here as a national partner and a friend, not many years after we were attacking them as an enemy. And by that point in my time in Iraq, I'd met many Iraqi citizens who wanted to be free. And they told me, I've never known freedom. My parents never know freedom. My grandparents never knew freedom. I'd love to experience it for a day, a week, a year, let alone a generation. And so what do you think that did to my heart? It told me that I've taken this for granted. I've never known anything but freedom. So I take it for granted. It was given to me at birth. I still have it. Maybe I don't realize what a big deal this is. So God showed me that through Iraqi citizens and through general officers in the Iraqi military and people who worked in their defense department who were trying to get freedom in this country. And they knew they needed these weapon systems to help them do that. So I had a whole new perspective about not only what freedom means to our nation, but what it means to another nation and the role of the military in protecting both. So I'm going to encourage prayer for my fellow colonel brother who's going to come prayer. How would I like you to pray for our military? First, please pray for wisdom of military leaders to design strategies to be successful to protecting our nation's freedom. One of those freedoms is this, the freedom to pray, to worship our God. Pray for wisdom to do that. We have to do that these days with very limited resources. In a very complex world, and it's very difficult. Those leaders need your wisdom. They need to humbly depend on Christ themselves. They need wise counsel. Please pray for them. Pray for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, civilians who are deployed. There's still many. They've been doing this for 20 to 30 years. If you go back to Desert Shield and Desert Storm, we've been continually engaged at war. This has been very weary on families, been weary on marriages, tough on raising kids, at risk of your life, over and over and over again. I went to Iraq one time, but I met people there for their sixth time, seventh time. What that does to a family, it's very difficult. So pray for them while they're apart, that God keeps them connected. My wife, Dana, and I will tell you that we grow closer to each other as a couple during the year we were apart because God allowed us to communicate in very meaningful, feelings-based ways. Go ahead and ask her that. Don't take my opinion for it. We grew closer then. That's my opinion. So God can connect families with 8,000 miles apart. He certainly can. Pray for them when they come back home that they reintegrate well with their families. And pray for them when they have to go again, that they can bear through that by depending on Christ. So I would covet your prayers for our military members. And for those we work for, you've already prayed for, our executive department, our congressional leaders, our citizens. That's who we serve. And that's who we've been praying for all day. Thank you for sharing in this church service with me and giving me a chance to share in it with you. God bless you, and God bless America.
You're listening to, you just heard, Major Craig Olson of the United States Air Force, an amazing Christian general. And we're going to talk about more when we get back from the break, but believe it or not, according to the Air Force, so we have time before the break. Okay. According to this article in the Air Force Times, John, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation calls Olson's statement that you just heard unforgivable crimes and transgressions and calls for the Air Force to court-martial him. I mean, that's what they're called. This is according to Air Force Times.
Say that again. The calls for what?
Is this what, according to the Air Force Times, Olson, you know, understand, he fought for the right to do that. That's why he and all of our soldiers fought for the freedom of the U.S. Constitution. So this is according to the Air Force Times, Olson is now under fire for those particular comments that we just heard, which were awesome comments. You can live by that entire 23 minutes. And the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, think about the religious freedom, freedom front, they're going to front, right. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation called for Olson's statement. They said that his statement was unforgivable crimes and transgressions is what they called it.
and they're calling for Air Force to court-martial him for that. I mean, it's unheard of.
If we're
operating constitutionally and legally, that won't happen.
So he can defend our freedom, but he just can't have any freedom.
He can't have any freedom. Wow. And Mickey Weinstein, who is the head of that foundation, said that Olson's speech is a brutal. That speech we just heard, awesome.
The one we just giving praise to God, gratitude, appreciation, honor.
I think it was like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I heard a speech that's so encouraging, right? Something like that. But Mickey Weinstein, who is the head of that foundation, said that Olson's speech is a brutal disgrace to the very uniform he is wearing and the solemn oath that he took to support and defend the United States Constitution.
Wow. Amazing.
What's happening to us? He has a right to his opinion. He's wrong in regards to saying that it's the Constitution that gives this major general the right to stand up, and the fact that he fought for the right to stand up. And this particular, Mickey dude, he also is criticizing the National Day of Prayer as a display of Christian supremacy and exceptionalism.
Yeah.
And it's like,
obviously it looks like an agenda there.
Well, the whole thing is just like, wow.
Yeah.
So you do believe God exists and you are scared of the fact that a man prays, that a man falls out of bed on his knees for 20 years now, for 20 years. That's a man that God hears. Mm. I mean, he doesn't even stand up on his feet. He falls to his knees getting out of his bed for 20 years and asks God. Before the meeting happens in his office, he prays before it happens. I mean, he just acknowledges God in everything he does. No matter what men say about him, let me tell you something. His name is known in heaven.
No doubt.
Somebody like that, I'm telling you.
No doubt.
If you read the scriptures, you'll find this is somebody that God. But
this is a man with 2,200 employees with a $10.9 billion budget.
Right.
Who's had extensive over 20-year career, I believe.
Whose presence probably, Mickey Weinstein's not even worthy to be standing in. I mean, I get around those guys and just go, and you're not lifting a man up or anything like that, but the fact that's greatness when somebody would lay their lives down, not take the credit for it, and give glory to God. It's amazing man. But Evangelist Franklin Graham did make a comment. He posted a comment out there. It says blasting.
He's shy.
A comment on his Facebook post that says, I guess this group would try to court-martial George Washington. When he prayed at Valley Forge, and then he posted, come on, whose civil liberties are being infringed on here? They want to bully Christians to silence. Mm. And that's what's really going on. I mean, it's not true what Weinstein said and his dark foundation is promulgating. The truth is, I think it was one particular, I can't tell you who it is, but this is the truth. First they ignore you. Then they fight you.
Yeah.
Then you win. They try to ignore, a stand for God. They try to ignore prayer, ignore Christians that were everywhere. And now you're looking at somebody trying to fight. If you understand, just stay in love and trust God and continue to pray and take the wisdom that this general, Major General, is talking about and begin to abide with God. And, we have a plan for you, a simple plan at iabide.org. It's free. Just take it and get it and just begin to learn how to walk with God in a way that you're hearing him and getting wisdom on your meetings in your day and in your relationships and in your military service, whatever it is. And God does this. The only reason we can do what we're doing and pray for our men and women in uniform, because that's what they're being insulted. They're being assaulted with these kind of mindsets. Chaplains are being challenged. The word of God's being challenged. Every contrary value is being challenged versus saying, you can do whatever you want to do, but I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, reports are that chaplains in the Navy were not allowed to give Bibles away. Bibles!
Yes. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray
and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We just said the most of our program today was dedicated to Major General Craig Olson of the United States Air Force, who on May the 7th, the National Day of Prayer, taught for 23 powerful minutes. It reminds me of another National Day of Prayer where Dr. Ben Carson spoke. I mean, it shifted the nation.
Yeah.
One man's speech, a brain surgeon, you know, that it shifted the nation. And people begin to just think and who this is, and I'll be able to find out, you know, more, tell you in the future. It's probably some of our future programs. But I think it was actually Billy Graham that said this. When one man stands, other people begin to, other people's backbones begin to stiffen.
Wow.
When one man stands, then the backbones of others begin to stiffen.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it makes a difference when you stand. Like this General Olson, standing, Major General Olson. And unapologetic, it's so constitutionally sound in what he said. It's so biblically correct in what he said. And it's such good neighborly sound.
Sure, and the great humility. I mean, this is a major general. This is a person who has earned his career. And to be able to give all the credit to the Lord and not to take any credit for himself, I mean, to me, that just speaks of volumes, especially the dependency factor. This is what we want our young men, our young women to aspire to achieve great things in their life, do well in their work careers and their environments, but to do it under the empowerment that God provides with the wisdom so that God can get all the glory. I'm thankful that a man of this character and stature that loves the Lord is serving in the capacity that he is.
You know, religion says that you better be into me because God's not into you.
Hmm.
But relationship with God, salvation, family of God, heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, the family of God, sons of God, daughters of God, that speaks of communion, of relationship, of God. God is so into you that he gave his son for you. And prayer, that's the statement, the vocabulary, like so many words that are so powerful, their meaning has been taken away. And people, I remember going to a function that wasn't a political function, but a politician pulled out a book and he just read this prayer. You know, a book of prayers. He just read this prayer. And I thought, wow, you know, why would you show up at a church? I mean, isn't it real simple just to pray? And you can write out your prayer, I understand that kind of thing, but he actually read it from somebody else's prayer. And it's like, you know, religion is when you think, you know, there's something outside of you. You're trying to be somebody that you're not.
Yeah.
And God is somebody that he isn't. And somehow these two strangers are meeting in the night. And you're going like, hey, if you don't mind, swing. And it's versus, you know, God designed you, created you, just like this Major General Olson's talking about. And he's actually in love with you. He said he watches over you, that he writes down the things that you do in regards to a book of remembrance. And if there's bad things that we have done, he says that he'll even forgive us of those things if we ask him, and he will remove them from us. He'll throw them in the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more.
Wow.
And he wants to hear your thoughts. He wants to hear how your day's going. I mean, just like Adam strolled with God in the garden, that was his whole original plan, and the fall of man took that away, but we got that back through Jesus. Yeah. And so prayer, you can just think about this. I mean, just like the general said when he heard at that Promise Keepers meeting, you know, you're having issues like, I'm getting out of bed grumpy like Pat in the morning, and I need help. I need help, you know.
Well, think about the great privilege that we have to be able to be in communication. That's what prayer is, communication with God.
Just talking, like we're doing now.
Yeah, we're expressing, and it's humbling. You think about it, we're expressing our desires, our intentions. We're asking God to intervene in the life of...
And he does.
And he wants God. He wants to.
He's God. He think about this. Your father, if you choose to be, if you choose to take this mission, your father can be creator of the universe. Your elder brother and Lord and Savior could be his son, Jesus Christ. And you can talk with him. You can access him anytime, anywhere. And he wants to hear. He tells all the angels in heaven, shh, my son is talking. And he's interested. The only thing the devil has going for him is to convince you that he's not interested in you. He's not you, and he lies to you, and you believe, and you're approaching God like some foreign aspect of it's not authentic. And versus going, you know, God loves me. God's got a plan for my life. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. Granted, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. But this he loved me where I used to be. So if he loved me where I used to be, and he was okay with me then, I know he's okay with me now. Yeah. So I need to get over this so I can be in relationship with him and help other people get in relationship with him. And but you think about it, you're about to walk into a business deal and you know you don't know which way it's gonna go, and you're refusing to be a manipulator and to be sneaky. You just want it to go deal to go good. Well, you need to go to God and say, God, I really want this deal to work out. Maybe you're gonna buy a property, buy a house. You don't know what's behind them walls, you don't know what the wiring's like, you don't know what the future's like, you don't know what your neighbors are like, you don't know all that. But if you say, God, I want you to lead us to the house.
Yes.
And he leads you to the house. He will do it. Yes. And then you dedicate that house to him. And that's a place where you guys have your relationship, you know, you and God, that communion with God. Yeah. Angels are ascending, descending. It's where, you know, you're going to be asleep at night. He's going to give you a dream. It's where, you know, family's going to grow up and praying to him and talking to him, thanking for all the food that's going to come through your pantry and on your table. You know, he's going to be in communion with you as you thank him for that food. I mean, choices for leadership. Choices where you're going to worship, you know, just so many, where you're going to live geographically, so many things. And right now, today, of all the things that we should be listening to, like Major General Craig Olson, who's telling us, listen, this is the only way this freedom and this constitution and this land that we have can be sustained. It's through men having the right to prayer. He said, you see, I joined the military. I wanted to fly planes. But when I was in, because I had the right to go down and to a ministry where people were ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, I went. He said, because I had the right to do that.
And the freedom.
And the freedom to do that's what he said. And then he said, because of that, I actually, at that point, was convicted and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point, I began a journey. I mean, that is really what this whole thing about this experiment of America, you know, began and we're, as we're walking through that. And so understanding that this is so important, that's why we dedicated a large portion of our program today to be able to say, you know, we need to listen to this man that fought for us for the right to be able to worship God. And I believe we're going to be held accountable. I know we're going to be held accountable before God that you have this freedom. And what did you do with it?
What that was the big, you do with it?
Did you squander it?
Yeah.
Did you tell anybody about me? Did you go talk to your neighbors? I was scared. Did you give? I didn't want to give up my stuff. You know, did you talk about me at your workplace? I didn't want to lose my job. You know, did you talk about me when you were a general? You know, I defended your country. I just want to pray with you now. I want to pray with you right now. You can join us here in the studio. And we just want to pray for this general. He's under attack, Major General Craig Olson. But I believe the Lord's hand is definitely upon him. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for Major General Craig Olson. We thank you how you're blessing him and blessing his family, how he's giving you glory. And he's given you honor, Lord God, and he's shown us how you're involved in his life and how you're involved in leading in our military through him and other Christians that stand up. God, we just come against this attack over him, this attack over our nation, this attack over our constitutional rights, an attack over our military soldiers and officers who just want to worship freely and follow you, Father God, and over the chaplains. We pray that you would cancel those attacks. And we pray, Lord, for the church to awaken and to arise, Lord God, and say, you know, here we are. We're going to stand up just like this general did in bright daylight and just say, I love God. I'm not perfect. I'm on this journey, but I have the freedom to be able to do that because of prayer because of the founding fathers who laid this constitution out to say that we can pray. God, send us a revival, a third great awakening, I pray, in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking
over
there.
We got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select Get Your Free Plan Today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to him, giving him dreams, and it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely speak.